The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, gender, body image. It is not safe for work. So thank you for being a consenting adult, and here we go.
But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from polyamory advocate and sex party organizer William Winters. How's your week going? I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. I hope you joined us for the live stream on Saturday night where we celebrated 14 years of body storytelling. Wow. And you know, I was just watching Jefferson Berge's Risqué show. Do you know about Risqué? It's this free show that happens every Monday night. And singer-songwriter Jefferson Berge, who's been writing custom songs for Body for 6 years now, he's got a new song for every show that I throw at him. And he performs those songs. And it's on Facebook and it's on Instagram. Oh, and then later on it goes up on YouTube. But he plays the songs that you know and you love about pervy things. And at some point, he had been watching the live stream of Body on Saturday night. And he'd heard me say the phrase, horny little army. Horny little army is a phrase that is in a Jefferson Berge song. It's called the Mammarian, which was originally pronounced the Mammarian, because I used to tell people when they'd say, if you were a superhero, what would you be? I'd say, I'd be the Mammarian, because I could smash evildoers with my boobs. So he wrote a song called the Mammarian, the Mammarian. That's how he pronounces it for the sake of the rhyme in the song. And he refers to the people in the audience as Dixie's horny little army. And he was saying on Risqué the other night, he goes, we should make t-shirts. We should have t-shirts that say horny little army with Dixie's little cartoon face on it. And I'm very curious, before you make t-shirts, you probably want to know whether there's any interest in that because of marketing. So would you wear a t-shirt that said horny little army if my little cartoon face was on it? Or do you have a better idea than that? I'd love to know. People ask us for merchandise like that, and we don't have it. I mean, I have weird merchandise. I have perfume that gets you laid. I have butt plugs, like t-shirts. Huh, that sounds like somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, and that does not sound like me. But I'd like to be that person. So if you have any advice on that, if you think it's a good idea, if you tell me that you'd walk around with that on your chest, I'd love to hear that information. I've started offering custom videos, as I mentioned the last couple of weeks, kind of like Cameo, where you tell me that you want to send a video, and it's really great for right now in the pandemic because you can't go to their birthday party. You can't go get them a gift. The post office is not reliable enough to get them there on time. So sending a gift video that's from somebody that they like people who are fans of this podcast, seems like a really good idea. And I've done a bunch of them this week. I guess a lot of perverts were born in February, huh? Because a lot of them are happy birthday videos. I'll do a Zoom call with you where we check in and we talk about what you want and you tell me about the person who's the gift recipient and everything. And I had a call just now with someone and we were chatting on Zoom because she was creating a custom video to give to her husband for a birthday gift. And the best part about these Zoom videos is I get to hear about you and your life and how you listen and how you found us and things like that. And she told me, you know, my husband and I have this thing we do together now. We binge your podcast together. It's opened us up to deeper conversations than we've ever had before, despite all the years of marriage. He's always been the more adventurous one. I've always been very self-conscious. And you have helped us meet in the middle. How cool is that? I mean, I love that people find the weird, quirky, subculture, fetish, whatever, through hearing a story at Bawdy. But so often, I'm hearing stories from couples who've never had the space or time. Their lives are busy. They're with each other these days, like 24 hours a day, but there's never a good time to have that conversation. And a story opens the door. You listen to a story together, and all of a sudden you're having conversations you've never had before. I love that about storytelling. I love that about sex and storytelling, because we've been trained. These are things we're not supposed to talk about. So it's even more awkward to try and initiate a conversation. Maybe you want to open up your marriage, or maybe you just want to talk about whether or not, you know, listen to a story about a sex party and go, would we do that? How would that work? How would we negotiate? How would we even think about it? And it doesn't mean you want to go. It just means it's interesting to figure out where your own parameters are in your relationship. It might change your parameters. It might make you learn something about your partner that you never knew before, something they're into that somehow in all those years you never discovered about them till you listen to a story together. So that information made me really, really happy to know that there are people on the other side of the country who are having brand new conversations because of this podcast. Every day I'm finding things that I like about podcasting. I didn't think I'd like it at first. And it's become so important to so many people that I'm really glad I did it. But yeah, there are so many things I never thought about when I started this podcast. And I learn from listeners like you all the time. Just what you do with this podcast, how it changes your life, how it makes your life more interesting when you're at work and nobody knows you have your earbuds in. Those sorts of things. So I'm really loving this connecting with people as I create these birthday videos, because I get to know about your lives. And you might have noticed I'm nosy and I like to know about people's lives. And you know, this past week we celebrated the 14th anniversary. We did the live stream, and I love the live stream. I love that people can join us from anywhere. I love that anybody can be part of it, but this one was really hard. It's been a year since I've been on stage, and birthdays and anniversaries are a big deal to me. And honestly, I rallied, but I cried all day because I miss that life. I miss the life I created. So the only thing that's keeping me going is I'm starting to think about what I'm going to do in a year when we celebrate 15 years, if the show can still be around then. Like, things that would make me so thrilled. Celebrating 15 years, which is a big deal, you know? That's an even bigger deal than a birthday or an anniversary. You know, maybe a national tour if the world's open back up. Getting the biggest venue I can find out there and crowding a whole bunch of us together. Crowding. Doesn't that sound fun? I want to be crowded. People are already telling me that when I launch the live show again, they are buying plane tickets the minute I announce it, because they are going to be there for that first one. 14 years was a great show. It was a fantastic live stream. And now I'm just dreaming of the day when we can come together and your face will be in my face and I can hug you hello and I can hug you goodbye and I can make new friends and I can hear your stories. And that feels like hope right now. And I really need that hope, don't you? Hope is so important. Welcome to today's episode of Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uberlube. Have you ever heard of cream lubricant? It was big in the 90s, and it was mainly imported from England, where they use things like salad cream. I guess cream is kind of like sauce. And the big thing about cream lubricant was that it didn't get sticky. And customers' biggest complaint about lube at the time was that it got sticky. And that's still a complaint we have today. But you know what doesn't get sticky? It's Uberlube. Uberlube doesn't get sticky when you're using it. It doesn't leave a sticky residue. In fact, it leaves you better than it found you, because it feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished with it. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. There's no flavor, no scent. It's body safe. It's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. I love Uberlube, and everyone I've introduced Uberlube to has raved about it. So what are you waiting for? Well, here's some more incentive. Right now, they're offering Bawdy Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Uberlube offers you the long-lasting performance you want, then quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. Don't use salad cream, y'all. Use Uberlube. Remember, you get 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. This has been Lube Facts with DIXIE, brought to you by Uberlube. I know you're curious about this week's storyteller, so let me tell you more about him. In 2014, the San Francisco Chronicle named William Winters the de facto king of the East Bay polyamory scene. An activist, educator, and intimacy coach, William is the founder and co-organizer of Bonobo, an Oakland-based organization that builds community, connection, and capacity in the sex-positive and non-monogamous worlds. Yes, he threw those virtual sex parties that you've heard Reed Mahalko and DIXIE talk about. William has also been an advocate for polyamory in the media, appearing in San Francisco Magazine, KQED's Forum, the San Francisco Chronicle, the New York Times. He's facilitated conversations about polyamory and sex-positive culture in settings including university campuses, political conferences, living rooms, Burning Man, and beyond. Because if you need somebody to advocate for polyamory, Burning Man, that's where they need that. I'm kidding. A campaign strategist by profession, a culture nerd by avocation, and a philosopher by major, William lives with his wife and their stupid cat in Oakland, California. Such a fan, such a fan. This storyteller is William Winters.
Thanks. So I asked Jaina to take all of her clothes off. And when she was naked, I led her into my bedroom. I sat her on the bed and told her to close her eyes. When she did, that's when I opened the paper bag and put it on her head. She gasped in horror and delight. And that is when I knew that if I did my job correctly, the night was going to get a lot weirder. So how did this become my job, you might ask? Well, it all started when, as it often does, when I went to a BDSM conference in San Francisco called Dark Odyssey. I went to a class called Enough to Make You Blush, and it was all about erotic humiliation. Now, I was not particularly into erotic humiliation. I am somewhat kinky, but a lot of my kinky activity is about like impact play, spanking people and flogging them and that kind of thing. And I'm pretty good at it, right? But you know, like impact play I think of as like the marijuana of the kink world. I wasn't into the hard shit, you know? I wasn't into like the psychological torture and that sort of thing. But I went to this class because I wanted to learn how to better bring emotion into my scenes, how to strategize around that a little bit better instead of just like wailing on people with a flogger. So I learned a few things, but I still wasn't sold on erotic humiliation until I went to a party about a week later. And I ran into Jaina. Jaina was an old classmate of mine at this sex and relationship coaching training based in San Francisco called Somatica. And we'd done some play together. And what I knew about Jaina from our time taking this course is that she was very, very submissive. So when we saw each other at this party for the first time in a while, I mentioned casually that I'd taken this class on erotic humiliation, and her eyes just got wide, and she said, "Oh, really? I was like, yeah. And she said, well, would you try it on me? Now, I was no pro, but I was interested. And I should describe Jaina. Jaina is about 5'5". She looks kind of like Christina Ricci, if Christina Ricci were like a suicide girl, covered in tattoos, wears glasses, her hair changes colors every other day. And she is very, very adventurous. So I pulled Jaina in close and I said, well, first, like, what do you want to be humiliated about? And she said, well, I really want to be a dirty slut. And I leaned into her closer and whispered in her ear, so you like being a dirty slut? Is that what I'm hearing? And she just kind of shuddered. And I knew at that point that I was onto something. And you know, this is hard for me because like I think of myself as fundamentally like a nice guy. You know, I am someone who makes people feel good about themselves so that they can come to the sex party, you know, and have a great time. And so playing with humiliation just like wasn't exactly, didn't feel natural. But at the same time, when she shuddered and I saw that like my words had the same effect on her as if I hit her with a flogger or spanked her with my hand, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So so we decided to make a date to explore this further. The next weekend, Jaina comes over to my house. She comes in. She sits on the sofa. And I start with the basic safety conversations and what she's interested in. I ask Jaina, what excites you about erotic humiliation? And what she basically told me was that she says such mean things to herself that sometimes it's helpful to have that voice externalized and having and hearing those things actually in connection with another person. And for that particular session, the stuff that she wanted to play out through humiliation was about like worth issues, like sense, like worthlessness. She wanted to feel worthless and she wanted to feel unlovable. Now, that was pretty intense. I was pretty sure I could handle it. So I look at her and I get a little bit colder. That's apparently my dom persona, my humiliation top persona, cold. I tell her, so you want to hear that you are worthless, that no one is ever going to be able to love you. Is that right? And she just shudders again. And I was like, yeah, and she was like, yeah, yeah, that's it. That's doing it. So I got an idea. I told Jaina to strip naked. And when she did, I led her into my bedroom. I sat her on the edge of the bed and told her to close her eyes. That's when I opened the paper bag and put it over her head. I told her that I don't even want to fucking look at you. You fucking disgust me. And she sobbed. Like, it was so intense. And, you know, I wanted to stay with the energy. She hadn't called the safe word. But I just had to check in a little bit. I was like, you will tell me if you need to take a break, right? And she said, yes, yes, I am good. And so I lay her down on the bed, face down, and I grab my bright red deerskin flogger, and I draw it over her body from her shoulder blade down to her butt, and then I give it a little whack with the flogger. And then I start going faster and warming her up. Yes, some people here know that flogger. And I'm warming up, and you know, she is still crying and working through it. And I'm telling her just how worthless she is and how the only thing that she deserves is to be hit, not to be touched, not to be kissed, no orgasms. My dick wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. Yeah, I really kind of went for it. And so I was like certainly getting an effect, but at the same time, I was freaking the fuck out because I'm like, I'm a nice guy. I don't know how to be this mean to people. So you know, I finished flogging her, and I eventually pulled her from the bed into the living room and laid her down on the floor. And I said, Jaina, your name isn't Jaina anymore. Your name is Dirt, because that's exactly what you are. That's exactly what you're worth, dirt. And I started, I put my foot on her head and then started like stepping on her, like walking on over her body, and asking her, so what is your name? And she said, Dirt. And what are you worth? Dirt. And what do you deserve? To be walked on. It was so, so intense. And, you know, I gotta say, like, the scene wasn't super sexual. Like, for me to bring, like, my sexual desire into the scene would kind of break the premise of her being unwanted, you know? And so I had to sort of channel that energy somewhere. And so after I finished stepping over her, I went over to my sofa where my handy dandy sex bag was. I sat down and I told her that, I told her, Jaina, I am so horny and you are not here to get fucked. And that's okay because I would never fuck you anyway. If you want to get fucked, all you deserve is this. And I opened my sex bag and I pulled out one of the like dozen dicks in the sex bag and started lobbing dicks at her while she was laying on the floor. I emptied my sex bag, throwing dick after dick after dick at this like heaving, panting, sobbing person laying on the floor. And at that point, I called the scene because I there was no place to go from there. Like good sex positive people, we checked in afterwards and did aftercare, and I asked Jaina how she was doing, and she said that she like felt like she'd gotten exactly what she wanted, and that she didn't really need a lot of aftercare after the scene because it was just so relieving. And I said, well, can you do something for me? And she said, yeah, what? And I said, can you just tell me that I'm a good person? Because it was really hard to believe after all of this, after emptying my bag of dicks on you. And she did. And I think, you know, if I had to like take one lesson from this, it's that, you know, maybe I can explore this part of myself and still actually be a good person. And that's actually given me a lot of permission to go a bit deeper in my play. But I mean, if there's another lesson that I learned from this, it's that maybe being a nice guy isn't actually all it's cracked up to be. Thank you.
Yeah.
Silver platter. Would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find in all these a dozen roses, which I would give to you.
That song was Hate On Me by Jill Scott. Y'all, our next live stream is going to be on Saturday, March 13th, and this one is going to be phenomenal. That's right. After all these years of trying, all these years, I finally have the inimitable Margaret Cho telling a story at Body Storytelling. We're also going to have a story from author Tracy Clark Flory. We're going to have music from Jefferson Berge and more. That's just the start. We're not there yet. I love finding out how it's all going to come together. Each month, we find out together on the live stream what's going to happen. I have a sense of adventure, do you? So make sure you get tickets right away for our next live stream. Body Storytelling's Happy Accidents is going to be on Saturday, March 13th. I'd love to see you there. And there's a link to tickets in the show notes. I really love Patreon. Not just for the fact that it's the thing that's keeping us going during this pandemic when I can't produce live shows, which are my bread and butter. But I love the fact that I have built this community with people all over the world. I have people who are Patreon supporters in other countries, in places I've never been, places I dream about going. Should we go to Sweden, y'all? Definitely need to go to the UK if this thing ever ends and the world opens back up. But till then, social media is doing their damnedest to make sure that we cannot talk about sex, kink, or gender. It's something that obviously is about sexual pleasure, and we're not allowed to discuss sexual pleasure. Sexual pleasure is on the no list, but all the negative stuff, that's okay. So I want to create this place where we can come together, celebrate who we are, talk about what we want to, because we're grown-ups. And the platform that's allowing me to do that is Patreon. It's a place to share with you what's going on behind the scenes. It's a way to give you free tickets. It's a way to create special events for Bawdy Storytelling fans so that you have the community you need. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had that. There's always that person who probably thinks what you want to talk about is inappropriate. Well, you have friends who are cool with that conversation now, and I am one of them. So please go to patreon.com/bawdy. Support us at whatever level you can, but really, it's making a huge difference right now. Bawdy would not still be in existence if it were not for Patreon. So if possible, support us on Patreon, and thanks in advance for your support. Well, that's our time together for this week. But before we go, I want to say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to Joe Moore, Mosa Maxwell-Smith, David Grossoff, Donal Mooney, and most of all, live stream technical director and podcast producer, Marty Garcia. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Della Tour. This has been episode 162 of the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.